I want it very much, but Ken wants it so much that I'm going to take it. Just to, it's kind of a chess move, just to prevent Ken from leaving with it. Just to thwart my nemesis, Ken Friedman.
So even though you don't want it,
it was offered to me first.
You're going
to
take
it. You were excited about it.
And what is it?
Irwin has bought a number of these 1953 calendars. Apparently 1953... The calendar is exactly the same as 2015.
I see.
So you can reuse an old 1953 calendar.
Got it.
Very retro, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'll ever put it up. I don't know if we'll ever use it, but you were so excited about it.
So you just want
to... I'm going to take it.
Yeah, you just want to make sure I
don't... To deny you.
I don't get it.
So in this exchange, wouldn't you agree that I've won?
Yes. Yes, you won. Because I wanted
this it. This is going to be a great year. This is an omen. This is a great year. My goal in 2015 is very simple.
What is it?
It's to win every single show we do.
You'll never win every show. What are the chances?
I'm going to shut you down, baby.
No way.
Yeah. Hey. You're not going to get on the scoreboard.
Well, I'm glad your heart is black this holiday season, but mine's not so black. I have some presents for you here.
Oh, I didn't get you anything.
Yeah. Well, this one's not from me. This is from Cleo and Floyd.
Irwin, do you have anything I can give Ken? Wait, I'll give him this stupid calendar. Yeah, okay. You have a gift for me?
Yeah, this is from Cleo and Floyd, listeners who came down to deliver this to
they
you.
They came
today.
Down to the station
yes.
with a gift for me?
Yep.
Do I open it now?
Yeah, open it right now.
You want me to open it while on mic?
You got one and I got one.
Oh, did you open yours?
Yeah, I'm holding it right now.
Is mine similar to what you're holding?
It's not quite as good as mine. But it's good. And there's a note in there.
It's like an ornament for a Christmas tree?
Yeah.
You have a Christmas tree.
I do.
We have a Hanukkah thing.
There's a note. Are you going to read the note? Cleo and Floyd came down here. They were very proud.
I'll have my assistant read it and tell me all about it.
No, read the note.
I'll have my assistant. Jeez, my assistant will summarize it. We'll break it down for
you. Cleo and Floyd are kids who made these gifts.
I'm looking forward to reading a condensed version of this note from my assistant.
Oh my
God. Is your problem?
You're horrible.
Why?
Cleo and Floyd, I love the tampon angels that you
they're
made.
They're made from tampons?
Yes. Super
they're
sized.
They're little angels.
Made from tampons.
Made from tampons.
And pipe cleaners and feathers.
Well, they are beautiful. And
I love...
And in about 4 days, they may come in very handy around my house.
Why?
I don't want to tell you.
No, you got to tell me.
Nah, I don't want to tell you. Every 28 days, they might be very useful.
Uh-huh.
Okay, here, I'm reading the note. First off, they list you first, Ken and Andy.
You're on the radio, so you might want to read it out loud.
Ken and Andy, it says.
Yeah. Good.
Already, I'm...
So far, so good.
Yeah, by your standards.
Yeah.
We hope... that you like our tampon angels. We love listening to your show, and love is underlined twice.
Mm-hmm.
How many times did they underline it on your note?
That's the note to both of us.
Oh, it says note to both of us.
It says Ken and Andy.
That's Happy holidays, Cleo. Love, Cleo and Floyd.
And Cleo and Floyd are planning on coming to the kids' show.
P.S. The girl who is writing this is the one who spun the Wheel of Fortune, if you remember. Very sweet. And it's in a little box.
Mm-hmm.
Do we get to keep the box?
I get to keep the box.
A very, very sweet tampon angels. How old are they?
I'm not sure. They're, you know, they're down there. They're down there in the single digits.
We should invite them to our, we have a kid-friendly live show coming up.
That's right. January 16th at Monty Hall.
It could be a reunion of the postal office romper room.
Oh, the mail prankers.
The mail prankers.
That's what.
Although my son has a new club at school now.
What is it?
The Bully Stoppers.
Oh, the Bully Stopper. I've heard about them.
If there are bullies on the playground,
yeah, I've heard about
who are you going to call?
The vigilante Bully Stoppers.
Who would you call? Let me give you a scenario. It's recess.
Okay.
You're on the playground.
Got it.
You see a bunch of bullies
mm-hmm.
harassing people.
I'd run the other way.
You would run the other way. I would call the Bully Stoppers.
And what would the Bully Stoppers do?
I don't know.
Would they have a plan. They would have a sock full of quarters like Charles Bronson.
They would have a plan of action. I believe what they do is they observe the bullies and then tattletale. They tell the teachers.
I see.
And that's how they work. That's how they move. That's the biggest weapon in their arsenal.
So they're
bully stoppers.
They're the snitches.
They're the snitches.
They're the snitches. Okay. They're the yellow-bellied snitches. I have a present for you now.
Oh, man. Hey, would you accept this present for me?
No.
It looks like an old calendar. You wouldn't think it's of any use at all. It's from 1953.
Oh, 1953 happens to be the
coincide, same exactly.
with 2015.
Except for Jewish holidays, which are different, but you don't observe right. those anyway.
Well, I do.
Right.
I'm observing Hanukkah.
Do you sit under the Christmas tree and talk about how much Hanukkah means to you?
We light the menorah under the Christmas tree.
Yeah, exactly. Please accept it.
Thank you, and please accept sure. this from me.
Oh, I have a DVD?
Yeah, it's a DVD.
It's Holocaust Cannibal?
Holocaust Cannibal. Yeah, it's an anti-Nazi movie. It's Nazis.
Lots of nudity?
In the end of World War II. Well, the nudity is kind of essential to the storyline. It's not gratuitous.
Okay.
It's the end of World War II, Andy, and a bunch of Nazis hightail it out of Germany.
So this is a real movie, and here's what it says on the cover. Nazis know they're losing the war. Some board planes for Argentina, where they will live in hiding. But one such plane gets hit by lightning and crashes on an island of savages. Now it is their turn to suffer atrocities.
Yeah.
So the savages...
The Nazis get what's coming to them.
The hunter becomes the hunted in Holocaust Cannibal.
That's right.
Fantastic. Well, our whole family's going to be gathering around... in Florida, and I'll make sure I bring. I'll make sure I don't bring this. Actually,
why?
It just looks horrific.
The nudity.
It just looks horrific. But
it's very tasteful nudity.
Well, we can get the cast together in our adult show because
okay.
in January we're doing a kid friendly show, and in February we're doing an adults only show.
That's right. January 16th is the kids show, and February 20th is the adults only
I
show.
I hope our booking people don't confuse the dates. Because I don't think the kids want to meet the cast of Cannibal, of Holocaust.
Holocaust Cannibal, Holocaust. Not Cannibal Holocaust. Totally.
It's really Nazis versus cannibals.
Yeah, it is. It's true. Who do you think wins?
I don't know who to root for.
The cannibals win.
I guess that's who I was rooting for. You have to work hard for me to root for cannibals. You have to come up with you have to really work on your story for the cannibals to be have the rooting interest. But they did it. The producers of Holocaust Cannibal did it.
That's made by our own Beelzebub.
It is?
Yeah, with a special appearance by Professor Dum Dum in it.
Wait, there's FMU staff members in this?
He made it, yeah. An FMU DJ made that. Mm. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Very amazing. How proud you must be.
What do you like better, the tampon angel or Holocaust cannibal?
I love all my gifts.
Equally? Liar.
Equally.
Yeah, liar.
Hey, I had a thought today. Tell me if anybody's ever done this.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't run it past Bethy yet, but here's what I'd like to do. And okay. I know we have an idea for
today.
Yeah,
we do have an idea, but go ahead.
Has anyone ever done this? I've decided I'd like to lie on my tombstone.
Uh-huh.
Has anyone ever done this? Like, if I die tomorrow, I think I'm going to put a codicil in my will. Like, if I die tomorrow, it should say Andrew Breckman, born 1894, died 2014, world's oldest man. And then, you know, or it could say winner, Nobel Peace Prize 2008. Pulitzer Prize winner. He killed Osama bin Laden. You know, I mean, there would just be... Can't you lie on your tombstone?
You can, Andy, it's not illegal to lie, period.
That's right.
You can lie anywhere you
want. So people walking through the cemetery will say, whoa, this guy lived... Hold on, let me do the math.
Wow.
He lived to 134.
And he killed Osama bin Laden.
And he was on the SEAL team that killed Osama bin Laden.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, do it.
Just for a goof.
Yeah, why not?
One final goof.
Well, Andy, your son Evan would like to have a word with you.
Well,
hi, Evan. Hi, Evan. You're on the air.
Hi, Evan. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Before I can tell you my miracle.
Oh, yes. Oh, thank you, Evan. Evan is going to help us.
I want to tell you something about one fan.
A fan. Okay.
He is the school janitor.
You mean the school janitor at your elementary school?
Yes.
Is a fan, one of the maintenance guys at Tory J is a fan?
Yes.
What's his name, Evan? We'll give him a shout out.
Mr. Pat.
This show is for you, Mr. Pat.
Well, that's fantastic, Evan. I'm glad.
All right.
No, wait, is he a fan of Daddy's TV shows or a fan of this show?
The fan of this TV, this.
Of the radio show?
Yes.
The radio show.
Well, then he shouldn't be near children.
Why?
He shouldn't be working with children.
Why?
Well, because clearly his judgment is impaired. He's clearly an unstable individual.
Really, Dad? This sounds like everybody was stealing on Mr. Pat because he was carrying, like, 80 pizza boxes at once.
Yeah.
He can carry 80 pizza boxes at
once?
Yeah,
Mr. Pat can do that. That's right.
I take back everything I said.
Good.
About him being unstable.
Good. Yeah, he's very stable.
Apparently. Okay, so Evan, thank you for calling me. You know why?
I have to tell you my miracle.
I know. Let me explain what the miracle part of the show is. I'm not even... Wait, Ken, you might have to help me here. I'm not even sure how this works.
I know. But I can make a little gift if you can explain scientifically my miracle.
If people call and explain something miraculous that has happened to them in their lives...
Yes.
And I can't explain it using rational thought, using science.
Yes.
Then they will get a gift. And if it's a big miracle, Ken will give them
a really big gift,
a T-shirt. And if it's a tiny, little, unimpressive miracle,
you get nothing.
They get an anti-gift.
They get a bumper sticker.
Well, an anti-gift.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if Ken really has disdain for the person, he gives them a copy of Holocaust Cannibal. Okay.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Okay, what is your miracle, Evan? And thank you for kicking this off. Evan, Evan, you're like the fifth Beatle. You're like the third host here, isn't he, Ken?
Yeah. Well, I'd say he's more like the seventh Beatle. But he's a Beatle.
Yeah. Go ahead. What is your miracle, Ev?
All right. So this day at recess, I was running around, and every step I took, I farted.
Every step he took, he farted.
You mean you had a lot of gas, and it seemed to, and when you were running around...
No, I didn't have to go to the bathroom or anything.
No.
Well, that's not... Well, Evan...
That's a Hanukkah miracle.
No, that's not a miracle.
Go ahead and debunk it. Let me hear your theory, Andy. Go ahead. Let's hear your scientific theory.
Evan, a miracle is like what you learned about at Sunday school. It's you know, like the eternal lamp. There wasn't enough oil for it to last, or the parting of the Dead Sea.
Hang on, Evan. Your dad.
I didn't know
these were real miracles.
Coming. And then I farted, and everybody laughed. And then I became one of the popular kids in school for the day. I think that a miracle.
Yeah, how do you explain that, Andy Breckman? Use science to explain that. He farted perfectly in sync with every step that he took, and then, after that happened, yeah. he became the most popular kid in the school.
For a day.
So go ahead, use your science.
That kind of glow kind of fades after a day.
Go ahead, Mr. Pointy-headed East Coast intellectual. Use your science to explain that.
Okay, well, maybe, Evan, maybe you ate your breakfast or your lunch too quickly, and you had a lot of gas that day.
Yeah, I barely even... Dad, recess was before lunch.
Evan, I can only say I think it happened naturally. I think you had a gassy meal, or maybe you slurped down some water too quickly.
And water? Water doesn't give you gas.
But if you slurp it out of a drinking fountain and you're slurping in air.
That'll make you belch, not fart.
Dad, the only thing I was walking on was grass.
You were walking on grass, and that was something soft. It wasn't even hard.
Grass and metal from the playground.
Okay.
Would you say this
is a miracle,
yes,
Ken?
Yes, this is a Hanukkah miracle.
You would put this in the miracle category?
Yes, and I'm going to send Evan a lifetime supply of Gary Panther cat t-shirts.
Well, he loves that t-shirt. Yeah. He wears it every day.
No, wait. Actually,
yeah.
I want to get some new bumper sticker.
He'll take a bumper sticker.
Okay, fine.
Okay. Daddy will bring you home a bumper sticker.
All right. Thanks, Evan.
That'll be my second Hanukkah gift. Thank you.
I think we can do better than that.
No, you have some really, really great stuff coming, Evan. Your dad told me everything he's giving to you this Hanukkah season, tonight, tomorrow night, leading up to the big gift on the eighth night.
If you like different shaped rocks, Evan.
I already got my big gift on the first night.
Oh, really? That's not what your dad told me. Huh.
Well, I have all different... Evan is starting a rock collection, I've decided, and we're going to get him a different shaped rock every night.
Minerals?
All different sort of minerals, yep.
Dad, you know what's really cool?
What?
One day you got me a diamond.
Yeah, that's a rock.
Ooh, I've been outsmarted again.
And then I can sell it, and I will have my own house, and it'll basically be double the cost of your house, and everybody will go to my house instead of yours.
Yeah.
They'd be going to your... They'd be going to your house anyway because you're the farting to see the fart the miracle of the farting 8-year-old boy. Okay,
yes.
Thank you, Evan. I love you. I'll see you after the show.
Bye, Evan.
Okay, and that's how it works. Call us up. Tell us what's happened in your life. Something miraculous. I will try to debunk it, and if I can't debunk it, Ken will send you a gift.
And Nick the Bard, I need you to get everybody's email address so I can contact everybody after the show.
We're at 201-909-936.
No.
Wait, are we?
No.
Oh.
201-209-9368.
Oh, it's a new number. Make a note. 201-209-9368.
Same number, actually, that we've had for quite a while.
I've never seen that before in my life.
Scott in California, you're on the air.
201-209-9368. Okay, yeah, you're right. Okay. Hey Scott,
maybe this isn't so much a miracle, but at the time I thought it was, and it's sort of growing that way.
Okay.
It was about 1984, and I just went to a Neville Brothers show. I went to a Neville Brothers show in San Francisco at the Stone on Broadway. Okay, you know, it's like a nightclub district. And it gets out about, 11:30, so we decided to go to the Pantera, which is around the corner, which is a bar.
There's
two girls in there that are either ex-girlfriends or... girlfriend, a girl that I wished was a girlfriend.
So you were in the city.
Three girls at this bar competing for my attention all at once.
8 million people in the city. You go into a bar.
8 million, exactly.
None
of the three girls knew each other.
And you knew three girls, and you were in, you were the center of attention. And it felt like divine intervention.
I couldn't put a nickel in the jukebox without having somebody trying to put it in there for me.
Wow.
Okay. Now, statistically, let me tell you something about statistics. This sounds like a miracle to you because it happened to you, and on that one night, it must have seemed very special.
But
don't forget, there are 8 million other people in the city, and
what if I told you that a bright white light shone through the bar?
Well, that would be a little more difficult to explain. Only the fact that that didn't happen would make it more plausible. Well, I would say that statistically, this thing is just bound to happen eventually. If something like that, if somebody walks into a bar and knows three people.
Me?
Well, see, well,
me?
No, not
you
to
don't
you.
Know me.
I know I don't know you, but to somebody, to somebody, it's true, Scott, that not necessarily to you. I said to somebody, it's going to happen, and that person. Might call this radio show and feel like it was a divine moment.
Okay, Scott,
what do you think?
Well, first of all, Scott, I have to explain something to you. Andy believes in evolution. Need I say more? He's one of them.
Now, wait, Ken, you're sitting in the referee chair.
Yeah.
I tried to debunk Scott. Scott feels it was miraculous. He knew three girls in the same bar in the same night.
The thing is, it went on for like 2 hours.
And
the bar closed.
And they were not repelled by him. They stuck with him all night.
I would say that's a true Hanukkah miracle.
Oh, my God. Your standards are like nothing.
It was around Christmas, too.
It was around Christmas. Fine, Scott, you've won. What does he want?
Scott, did you...
Is it a T-shirt miracle or a bumper sticker miracle?
It's a bumper sticker miracle.
Yeah, it's a bumper sticker miracle.
It's actually a rolling paper miracle.
It's a rolling paper miracle.
Okay, then you're getting a pack of rolling paper.
Scott, did you give your email address to Nick the Bard?
No, I didn't.
Well, okay, call back and give it to him.
We're at 201-209-9368. You describe
actually,
a miracle
Scott,
in your
Scott,
life.
Scott, I have put you on hold, and Nick the Bard, if you can pick up Scott online,
no
too.
No one cares. Ken, no one cares.
No, Scott cares very much.
Yeah, but the mechanics of this don't interest anyone but Scott.
He wants the rolling papers.
201-209.
Did you hear how excited he got when I told him he won rolling paper?
Yeah, I did. 209-9368. It was a Holocaust cannibal sort of reaction, wasn't it?
It was more like a cannibal Holocaust reaction. But I get where you're coming from, though.
Yeah.
All right, Barbara in East Orange, you're on the air.
Hey, Barbara. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
You love the show.
Barbara's from our old hometown.
Oh, yeah.
You're from our old hometown, East Orange.
I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying.
Oh,
Ken.
The station, I know. It's fun sometimes to try to decipher what Ken means when he talks, isn't it? it's like a party trick, a party game we play. What Ken is trying to say is that the station began its life on the campus of Uppsala College.
I know. I live a few blocks away from Uppsala.
There you go. And so Ken was remarking that you live nearby. Yes.
Yeah, at its old hometown week here.
Yeah. So, Barbara, you had an experience that you can't explain rationally?
Yes, I believe so, I would like to see you explain this one.
I will try.
Okay, I used to live in an area that got lost a hurricane. And one time there was a hurricane going on, and my friend and I were in the house. All the hurricane boards were up and stuff like that. We're sitting on the couch together underneath one of those overhead fans that go.
Yes.
And it was going round and round and round and round because of the wind from the hurricane.
The ceiling fan, yes.
Us, without speaking to each other, got up off the couch at the same time, moved the couch back, sat down. A minute later, that overhead fan crashed to the floor and would have fallen right on us if we hadn't moved the couch.
How do you explain that, Andy Brickman?
Well, you can't be serious. You mean you're in the middle of a hurricane and your spidey sense began to tingle that you might be that the ceiling fan? But that would only make sense if you were sitting there on the couch on a calm day, on a windless day, on a perfect day, on a normal day like any other, and then you had that feeling, and then the ceiling fan fell. Then I would be impressed. It was a hurricane. You were probably running every worst-case scenario. You were both worried. It was a hurricane. That's like saying this. What if I told you this? My friend and I, we were caught in the middle of a gunfight, and both at the same time, we ducked. Would you say that was a miracle? No.
Not very rational, Andy.
Well, okay. I think I've explained it, but it's up to you, Uncle Ken. Was this a miracle, what she's describing?
I would consider it a minor miracle.
Oh, my God!
Oh, a minor miracle.
Oh, my God!
I think it's a button miracle.
Ken, do you know what a miracle means? Look up the word miracle. Oh, my God.
Look up the Legend of Hanukkah.
Yeah.
If that's a, that's my miracle standard, Hanukkah.
The oil lasted 8 days.
Oh, boy, the oil didn't burn out. The eternal amount of oil didn't burn out.
They only had enough oil for one day.
Yeah, they went away for a week and one day.
It lasted eight times that much.
Yeah.
It would be like this. Your gas tank says empty, and you drive all the way to Ann Arbor. That's a miracle.
That's not
That's the Hanukkah miracle.
No, it means my gas gauge is broken.
You think the gauge on the eternal light was broken?
Yeah. That's my theory. It said it was empty. It was actually full.
Well, I've never heard that explanation. All right. Well, congratulations, Barbara. You're getting a bumper
okay,
sticker.
Okay, Barbara.
Or button or something.
Yeah, a button.
Yeah, a button. It was a button miracle.
It was a button miracle.
201-209-9368. In the middle of a hurricane, Ken.
Well, the button.
In the middle of a hurricane, they got a little worried about the ceiling
hear
fan.
Hear me out.
Yeah.
The button has no pin.
Yeah. So it's a very, very minor miracle.
You have to use glue.
Yeah.
To glue it to a shirt.
Or maybe it'll miraculously stay on your shirt.
All right, Andy, you're not going to believe this. Ramona in Philadelphia is on the air. Hi, Ramona.
It's Ramon, sorry.
It's Hi, Ramon.
Hi, Ramona.
How are you?
Good.
I have a little bit of a backstory for my miracle.
Okay, Ramon, go ahead.
I grew up in a jungle, near a jungle in South America.
Really?
The Amazons.
Wow.
Yep.
So we used to go on the weekend to my aunt's and uncle's house, me and my brother.
Uh-huh.
And we were maybe 9 years old, and we used to always go around in the jungle by ourselves, discovering things and exploring.
You were in the jungle, 9 years old, on your own.
In the Amazonian jungle.
In the Amazonian jungle.
Right.
That's a
right.
jungle.
And just so you know, just to put everything in perspective, I'm married to a woman that won't let my 9-year-old cross the street. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, and so we were exploring this one afternoon, and we heard our aunt's voice calling our names.
You're in the jungle, you're in the Amazon, you hear your aunt's voice calling you.
Yes.
Well, that is not very much of a miracle.
Wait for the end. Wait what happens next.
Wait, oh, there's more to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So we take off, quickly, because we need to respond to my aunt.
Of course, you hear her calling, yes.
Go a certain way.
See, I would say that's not really a miracle. You just hear your aunt calling and then you go home.
Let Ramon tell the story.
Oh, there's more to it.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
And so when we get to the house, we go directly to my aunt and ask, did you call us?
Well, I'm sorry, that still does not really qualify as very...
And she said no.
Oh, my God, now I get it.
And the reason why we think we heard it is because we avoided being confronted with a bobcat or a little tiger, the tigers that go around in the Amazon jungle.
You mean, wait, did you see the bobcat later?
No, but we knew there were bobcats all over the place.
So you think, here's what your theory is, that God intervened somehow, in God took the guise, the form of your aunt's voice, to lure you from the jungle, to spare you an encounter with a bobcat.
It could have been also a mad maniac.
One of those Amazonian mad maniacs.
Yeah,
but did you ever see the
miracle.
Did you see the bobcat or the jaguar?
We heard what sounded like voices from animals, but we didn't really.
They heard it later. Now let me ask you this: you and your cousin, did you hear your aunt's voice at the same time?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, and
that's
how?
Still clear.
And let me ask you this: and then your aunt said, "I did not call you." Is that correct? Now, how advanced was your aunt's dementia at that point? Was your aunt pretty together?
She was very lucid. She was one of the most trustworthy persons I've ever known. So
wait a second.
Okay, I am ready with my explanation.
Okay, go ahead.
Your aunt, God bless her, in an attempt to instill a religious fervor in you and your cousin, in an attempt to make you believe that there's more to life than what we find on this mortal plane, lied to you. And told you that she did not call you, when in fact she had been calling you frantically for the last half hour, and that is my explanation. What other explanation could there be, Ken?
Well, let me ask you this, Ramon: is this what your aunt's voice sounded like when she was calling you, Ramon?
Wow,
Ramon.
Kind of.
So wait,
was that it?
I have a new theory.
Yeah.
It was Ken Friedman. he was wont to wander around the Amazon. Yeah. He heard drugs grow there pretty wildly.
How old was Ken in 1980, for example?
21.
21, old enough to know better, frankly. Okay, so that's another theory.
I was there on a ayahuasca junket.
Ken, what do you think? Well, are we looking at a miracle here?
An extreme miracle.
This is an extreme T-shirt miracle?
This is a T-shirt miracle.
Wow.
Well, then I do stand
corrected. Because I've heard Ramon's aunt myself.
In your head?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
You sound just like her.
You mean David Berkowitz hears the dog next door, and you hear the voice in your head is Ramon's aunt.
Calling Ramon.
Telling you to kill people.
Yeah. No, well, not telling me to kill people.
Telling you to get out of the jungle.
Bobcat
alert. Bobcat alert.
Get out of the jungle and bring me a dime bag of DMT while you're at it.
Okay, well, Ramon, congratulations. You have a T-shirt.
Thanks,
cover.
Ramon. Right.
Wow. You are easily impressed, my friend.
No, I'm not easily impressed. It's just Hanukkah.
It's just that time of year?
It's that time of year, yeah.
I think you're becoming a little bit of a softy. 201-209-9368. If you tell us your miracle, I'll try to debunk it, and Ken will decide how miraculous your experience was.
Matthew in Brooklyn, you're on the air.
How are you, gentlemen? Happy holidays.
Thanks, Matt. Hey, may I call you Matt?
Yes, you can.
Can Ken call you Matt?
He can call me Matthew.
Okay.
All right, so Ken, Matthew.
Okay, Matt.
So these are the facts as I know them to be. I went to a small state school in Massachusetts.
See, again, I have to say, there's nothing miraculous about that. They probably accept thousands of students a year.
Matthew hasn't even begun to tell the story.
Oh, I see. There's more. Okay. Yeah.
I was a terrible student, and so were my friends. We were a bunch of slackers. We smoked pot and we drank beer too much. I'm past that, but these are back in the old days. So,
right.
In Massachusetts, they have the old Puritan blue laws, and they don't sell beer on Sundays.
Correct. Yes.
But then towns, little by little, on the borders, would kind of chip away and break down. And there was a town in Massachusetts that sold beer on a Sunday. So my friends and I got in this little Toyota. There's about five of us, and we all got stoned, and we all went driving to this town to get some beer. It was a warm day. We all had cotton mouth, dry mouth. We were salivating, yeah. Anticipating the first cold beer.
If you're just tuning in, listener Matt is telling us about a miracle that happened in his life.
So we're driving to this town. We're on the back roads, and we see this open green field, and in the entire field, there's two crows, and one of the guys in the car was taking a Native American studies class, and I guess one crow, because it's solitude, it's bad luck, but two crows, a coupling, is good luck. And I remember we were stoned, and he told us that, and he said, I wonder what'll happen. So we're driving, and we pass this small family graveyard, this little plot of a graveyard, and we said, let's go in there because
I can tell you right now, it's not a miracle.
See what this is all about. So we walk into the graveyard.
This story has something for everyone.
He lost me a long time ago.
I'm into it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And we opened the cooler.
A cooler.
A six-pack of Bud Tollies on ice, and nobody else was around.
Somebody had abandoned a cooler full of beer. Of cold beer.
But it was Bud.
It was Bud.
But it was exactly what we needed, and there was a little, you know...
The crows. The crows were the omen. The crows were right. There was good luck around the next bend.
But it was Bud.
You mean it wasn't a high-end, upscale beer?
Well, it wasn't good beer.
They were 18 years old. That's what they were going to buy, Ken.
Yeah.
They were on their way to buy Budweiser. Exactly.
I see. Yeah.
And they ended up with a cooler.
Not a miracle. I'm sorry.
Not
a miracle.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't even have to...
The ice wasn't even melted, and there was no one around.
I don't have to debunk it?
Oh, the ice wasn't melted because it was in a cooler. That's what coolers are for.
But they were... They found exactly... it would be as if... Hey, I think I'll buy Andy a copy of Holocaust Cannibal. And then you walked outside, and what was in what was lying on the street right in front of the station? A Cabo Holocaust cannibal. Wouldn't you say that was miraculous?
Yeah, that would be miraculous.
Well, this is the same thing.
Are you comparing Bud Tallboys to Holocaust Cannibal?
It's movie? All about the crows. The crows knew there was good fortune ahead.
I'm sorry, Matthew.
Oh, my God. Where did this come from?
Well, maybe if he had let me call him Matt, I would, okay. I would have had a different outlook.
Thank you, Matthew. Nice try.
You're calling him Matthew now, too.
Scrooge McDuff has made his decision.
Phone number here is 201-209-9368.
I'm noticing cute girls and kids are being treated pretty lightly by you.
Yeah. What's your point?
No point at all. Hey, thank you very much for inviting my family and I to your cookie party.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
Oh, you're welcome. We had to leave a little early. Did anything interesting happen at all after we left?
Oh, all sorts of great things happened.
Because it was just death while we were there.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I noticed you did not stay long at all.
Yeah, no, it was pretty obvious that was just death.
You walked in and you said, we're not staying long, and sure enough, you were there for about 15 minutes.
Yeah, and in that 15 minutes, nothing happened. Oh, somebody offered me some cookies.
Well, it was a cookie party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was great. Thanks. All kidding aside, it was death.
You were acting like it was death. Yeah, maybe it was. Maybe it was the fact that you sat down and didn't move.
How was Ken's cookie party different from...
The entire time.
What's the difference between death and Ken's cookie party?
I don't know. What?
Exactly. What's the difference? Exactly. The answer is exactly.
Let's see. It's
did anyone hook up at your party?
Man, ask me 9 months from now when the birth rate goes through the roof
of FMU staffers. Just another cookie party, well, baby.
There was some crossbreeding going on. It wasn't just FMU staffers hooking up with one another.
Yeah,
there were some FMU staffers hooking up with regular people.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be better. You know,
yeah, well, your kid.
More genetic.
Your kid has a chance at least at a normal
yeah,
life.
Genetic variability.
Yeah.
Nick in New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hey, Nick. Thanks for calling. You love the show.
No problem, guys.
You love the show. You love the show.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, thanks very much, man. That means the world to us, doesn't it, Kenny?
It does. Good. Thank you, Nick.
All right. So here's my beautiful.
Well, this is Nick. Is it my headphones? Or
yeah, no, Nick, you're having we're having trouble hearing you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Can you talk directly into the phone, perhaps?
Is it better now?
Nope. No.
Not better. No.
I was having problems at first.
Yeah. Sorry, Nick.
He'll call back.
Yeah. Phone number here is 201-209-9368.
So we've heard from a bunch of people. They've been telling us their miracles.
Mm-hmm.
Your standards are, I think, all over the map. I can't get a
no,
fix
no.
on what
my
you...
standards. My standards are based on the Hanukkah miracle with the broken oil gauge.
The most impressive story I heard so far is one that did not make the grade.
Oh, the Budweiser Tallboy story?
They were driving to find a pack of Budweisers, and it's exactly what they found.
No, they were just looking for something to drink. They were stoned. They had cotton mouth. And they saw two crows. What do you think's going to happen to them?
It's it's kind of starting to occur to me. You're not the best judge of this.
What are you talking
about? You don't know when you hear a truly, truly, truly special story. I will grant you this. My son farting while he walked. I will grant you that. Not the greatest miracle.
And then becoming the most popular kid in school.
For a day. That was a pretty sweet story.
That's what every kid wants.
It says everything you need to know about that school, doesn't it?
And who would think that public flatulence would lead to that level of popularity?
It's a very special school.
Is it?
Yeah, in that way.
I didn't know that.
Okay, let's hear another miracle. Let's hear another so-called miracle.
Hey, speaking of your son, Evan, are we going to hear some of his jokes at the kids' show on January 16th?
Yeah, we're going to get someone to, we're going to get a stand-up to deliver some of Evan's material. What else is going to happen on, January 16th?
Yeah, Friday night, January 16th.
Oh, I thought it was the week before. Okay, the 16th, okay.
Friday night, January 16th.
What else might we do? The Bully Stoppers could meet?
Bully Stoppers, yep. Maybe
we could prank the post office again.
Maybe we'll get some of the Bloods and Crips there to explain that snitching is bad.
We got a little seminar about snitching.
Yeah,
I think that would be great.
To the Bully Stoppers.
That would be great. That would be great to hear.
You're a member of the Bloods. Can you get some of your brothers?
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Yeah. What are some of the slogans about snitching? It's don't tell. Wait, what is it? I can't remember. They have some great. They have some great little slogans.
Don't snitch or we'll cut you.
Yeah, things like that.
Things like that.
Yeah, you didn't see a thing.
All right.
Yeah. Well, let's get some gag members to talk about snitching to the authorities. That would be the fun. Oh my God, I would be so happy. Could we get a gang member? Are there any listening?
Sure.
Well, give Ken a shout.
It's a good time. It's a good time for the Bloods and Crips, because in the wake of Ferguson,
yeah, they're all together now.
They're together, yeah.
They fight a common enemy.
Yeah,
Godzilla, or whatever the common enemy is.
Godzilla.
Racism.
Yes, that's the common enemy.
I'm Mike. Sorry, I said Godzilla. Hey, can I call Al Sharpton and apologize for my Godzilla joke?
Why would you apologize to Al Sharpton for a Godzilla joke?
Because I was making light of the incident in Ferguson. Please.
Oh, I see.
I have his number. I always carry his number in case I need to apologize. Please, can I?
You don't have his number.
I do. If I do, will you call it?
What are you doing with Al Sharpton's phone number?
I always have it. Hold on. You don't think I do?
No, I don't.
The Action Network. Hold on. His Action Foundation or
What's
whatever it
called?
Is.
The Political Action Network?
I don't know. There's some kind of thing. Wait, hold
Social
on.
Action Network?
Yeah. Social Action Network. Hold on.
You're actually looking for his number.
I do. I have it. Wait, I called it yesterday.
Why?
Well, what do you do when you make an off on an insensitive joke? Who do you call to apologize?
I'm
not responsible.
This is my new ringtone, by the way.
Helpless! I'm not responsible! It's not up to me!
Here. This is it. This is Al Sharpton's number. Right there. Call it. I want to apologize. They made a Ferguson joke that I'm now embarrassed about. That New York number.
Really?
Yeah.
Hang on a second.
He will absolve me. Or who's ever at the switchboard.
Is that what he does?
Yeah. You just apologize, and then if Al Sharpton says it's okay, you can move on with your life.
And you're going to tell him that he's on the air.
Amy Pascal, the president of Sony Pictures, called him to apologize.
Oh, that's why you have his number.
Yeah.
Were you outed in any of those?
No, but just in case.
The hacked Sony emails?
What do you do when you make a racially insensitive remark? What? Who do you apologize to? What do? You just swallow it? You just eat with yourself? You just live with yourself?
I don't usually make racially insensitive remarks.
No, I do all the time.
I know, obviously.
It's like a little hobby.
Yeah.
All right, here. But I don't worry about it. I have Al Sharpton's number.
All right, let me see the number.
Okay, it's a 212 number.
Yeah, I see that.
Okay.
Al Sharpton's number is two numbers below my number.
Well, no, that's just recent calls. Those are outgoing calls,
I think. Oh, I see. What's going on here?
Okay. If you're just tuning in, I made a Ferguson joke, a racially insensitive joke. I'm feeling guilty about it. I'm going to apologize for it. And then I can move on. And then it's like a blank slate.
Your call cannot be completed.
Wait, you didn't
let me try it again.
Dial like the wind. Dial carefully. Hit every number square in the middle. Wait, I can give the number out. 690.
I dialed it already.
Sorry, but your call cannot be completed.
All right.
Can I call him on my phone?
What's the last four digits?
3070.
There we go. There we go.
Oh, hi. Is Mr. Sharpton in, please?
No, he isn't.
My name is Andy Breckman. I'm calling from WFMU, and I should tell you that you're on the air, and we have a little situation here. Maybe you can help out.
No, actually, I cannot. That would be a question that needs to go to his press person. Her name is Jackie Johnson, and her cell phone number is, because, you know, calling someone live on the air and doing this may not be cute, 646. Yeah.
No, it's
Jackie
pretty,
Johnson,
it's pretty cute.
646-981-5903.
Would she,
thank you and have a blessed night. Again, Jackie Johnson.
Would she accept an apology from me?
Have a blessed night, dear.
Oh.
They're on to you.
No.
They're on to the likes of you.
It's time to call Jackie Johnson.
You didn't even write Jackie Johnson's phone number.
Let's call back and get it.
Oh, yeah.
I was too scared.
I was watching. You wrote down the first three digits.
I was scared of her.
Yeah.
She scared me. They're tough. Oh, man, he hires tough broads. Who do you apologize
to? Now you have to apologize to some feminist group for calling her a tough
broad.
Let's
do that!
Oh, man.
Let's do that!
Let's carry on with the show.
The Miracle Show?
Yeah, Michael in New York, you're on the air.
Michael.
Okay.
Hey.
So, my aunt found a picture that was painted of my, of a girl named Mika in 1930.
Uh-huh.
And in 2007, my friend's daughter was born, and they named her Mika.
Whoa.
And now she has the same hair color, skin color, and eye color.
Wow.
Wait, I didn't hear the story.
Like,
I was still,
Mika was reborn.
I was still so rattled about talking to Al Sharpton's people. Wait, what was the story?
Okay. So my aunt found a picture that was painted of a girl named Mia.
Your aunt found a painted portrait of a girl named Mika.
No, Mia.
Mia. M-I-A. Okay. Well, that doesn't sound like very miraculous so far. Is there more to the story?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And this was in 1930. And in 2007,
yeah,
my friend's daughter was born, and they named her Mika. And now she has the same hair color, skin color, and eye color as the girl in the picture.
Okay, so wow. It's 77 years later.
Yeah.
And they named her...
Mia was reborn as Mika.
They didn't name her Mia, they named her Mika. It was very close to Mia, right?
Yeah.
And have you seen the portrait? Did your aunt buy the portrait and put it up?
No, because it's not for sale. It's like,
so you only have. So your aunt is remembering this. Your aunt is
no,
just.
No, she showed me.
Oh, she showed you the portrait.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just going to start. Wait, hold on. Let me get my head around this.
Yeah,
77 years.
Let's hear you.
77
your
years
way out
ago.
Of this one,
77 years ago, your aunt sees a painting in a museum
of Mia,
of a woman named Mia.
Yeah.
77 years go by, and a friend of yours has a baby. The baby looks like the painting, and they've independent of talk of anything your aunt did or said, they named the child Mika.
Yeah. Can we hear the story maybe 5 or 6 more times?
But then after that. That's when we saw the painting and we told the mother.
The baby was born in 2007, and then, but it all came together. They appreciated the miracle in 2012, a few years later.
Yeah.
Okay, do you understand it now, Ken?
I do understand.
Okay, I'm going to say, I appreciate your calling, and we really do love all our listeners, and we don't want to put anyone off or offend anyone, but this doesn't seem to be even a coincidence. This doesn't seem to be there's no connection at all to me. I'm just baffled.
It's not about you, Andy. It's about it's about Mia and Mika.
But I wouldn't put this in a miraculous category. I would just say it's the world spins around and these things happen and the names have a few letters in common. Probably has happened a billion times since the beginning of this phone call. So I would say this is just a happenstance. Now, Ken, are you persuaded by me, or do you feel there's some divine intervention at work?
I think it's a Hanukkah miracle. by the standards of the miraculous,
yeah,
as defined by a broken gas gauge in the Hanukkah temple. I declare this a true Hanukkah miracle, worthy of a jumpsuit.
An FMU jumpsuit?
An FMU onesie.
Well, that's the biggest miracle of all.
An FMU onesie.
Well, congratulations, ma'am. You have impressed my my co-host.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mika. Yeah. I think that was Mika.
Oh, you think that was Mika?
I think that was Mika.
So the story was about herself?
I think so.
Oh, well, that makes it even sweeter.
Yeah.
But less miraculous.
Hey, Nick in New Jersey is back. Hi, Nick.
What up, guys?
How you doing?
Better now?
Yeah, now you're great. Now you sound good.
You love the show. You love the show.
Love the show. Love WFMU.
Thanks, buddy. That means the world to us.
It's a miracle that I'm alive.
Well, maybe. Is that the miracle you're calling to sight?
No. What had happened was I was probably about 10 years old or so, and I'm driving down Route 35 in my aunt's car with my three brothers, and we're sitting in the back seat.
I have to say, that doesn't sound very miraculous. Aunts drive their nephews all the time.
It's not the miracle.
Oh, there's more to it. Okay, I'm sorry. I got you.
And I turn to my brother, and I say, hey, I bet you I could pull on the door, and it won't open. So I pulled on it, and it didn't open. But I looked down, the door was unlocked, and had it have opened like it should have, I would have flown out the car and I would have tumbled on the road at 40 miles per hour and I would have died. For whatever reason, it didn't open. It should have, and it didn't.
You mean the door was unlocked?
Yeah.
This is like a minivan door that you're pulling. Is that right?
No. It's a Ford Explorer.
But then you're pushing the door, not pulling it.
Well, yeah, pushing it, yeah.
Okay, so the door was unlocked, but for some reason it did not open when you reached for it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it had worked as it was supposed to, you might have fallen out of your seat. You were not buckled in.
I was leaning against it.
You were pushing against it.
Four of us in the back.
Oh, you were pushing like an idiot. You were put out of your seat, pushing against the door.
Yep.
And if it had opened, you certainly would have fallen and tumbled to your death.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I'm very glad you didn't die, but I wouldn't call that a miracle. You were only 10. You might not have been pulling on it correctly.
I mean,
you might not have noticed
it wasn't difficult to operate.
Well, it might have been locked, or maybe there was one of those parental locks. I mean, there's a million explanations that make more sense to me than God intervening.
Huh.
I mean, just because I don't take this the wrong way, but just I've been talking to you now. This is the second time you called. I've been talking to you for about 3 or 4 minutes, and I don't think God would care whether you lived or died.
Huh.
It's just based on my interaction with you here. So I would say this is not a miracle.
Yeah. Well, God loves us all, dude. He wants us all.
I think God loves a lot of us. I think that's true. Ken, what do you think?
Nick, I got to tell you, dude, that I thought it was a miracle, but what Andy's saying makes a lot of sense. Andy's really...
I've convinced you?
Andy convinced me. Yeah.
Parental lock.
No miracle.
It was a parental lock, my friend.
It was divine intervention that the parental lock was on.
Yeah, it was like parental intervention.
Parental intervention. Grown-up intervention. So we're going to...
Sorry, Nick.
But we thank you, though. It was very entertaining. And I, speaking for myself, I'm glad you're still with us.
I'm glad Nick's with us.
I love you, my friend.
I didn't want Nick to die.
No. But I don't think God was at work that day. So congratulations, Ken. I can tell what's happening here.
What?
You're calculating how much these t-shirts cost to mail out. You're raising your standards a little bit.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
We're at 201-209-9368. Just a couple of minutes left. This is our last show. The last full 7 second delay in 2014.
How's it been? How's 2014 been?
It's been a good year.
We did. I had a great year. I had two grandchildren born this year.
Yep.
For a total of three, our family grew. I had a wedding this year. How was your year?
It wasn't as good as yours.
Yeah.
But it was good. I went to your wedding.
That was the high point of your year?
No, that was not the high point of my year.
What would you say was the high point of your year? The best day of this year for you?
Going to the ice caves.
Really?
Yeah.
With your friends?
Yep. And family.
Yeah?
Yep.
Climbing around the ice caves?
Crawling. More like crawling.
I wasn't part of that day.
No. Mm. You never would have been able to do it. You would have killed yourself.
Mm. Thank you, Ken. Thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you for not inviting me to the ice caves and then insulting me during your story of the recapping of the ice cave story. Thank you for all of that.
Actually, a friend of mine went and almost killed himself.
Yeah. Was that the high point of your visit?
Well, that was a very exciting day, but we went
back. Did you stand to inherit from him or something?
No.
You went back to prove to yourself that you can do it.
Well, yeah, we needed to go back. We needed to get back on the horse.
Yeah.
Because he fell down and, you know, broke like 10 ribs. And
did he get back? Did he go back on the horse?
No.
It doesn't mean much, you getting back on the horse.
Yeah, that's true.
The guy that was in pain, the guy that suffered, chose not to get back on the horse.
Yeah, well, it was a big horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the point of that story. We who were fine went back. We had to prove something to ourselves.
Well, my point is just that it's been a good year.
Yeah, it's been a great year.
And we're not here next week. The old codger is filling in for us.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you in advance to the old codger.
And I guess I'll be here New Year's Eve doing something.
You're going to be here alone?
Yep. But then next year is going to be a good year.
How about this? How about the next caller, we can have them co-host with you on New Year's Eve?
No, thanks.
Let's do that.
No.
Come on.
No.
Please.
No.
Okay, the next caller, you heard Ken. Next caller is our New Year's Eve co-host.
Dan in New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hey, Dan, are you free New Year's Eve?
I don't want the show. In 1982.
Dan, I want to do the show with you. Dan, you have to come down New Year's Eve and do the show with me.
Dan, are you around New Year's Eve?
Just leave the door unlocked.
That's what I would say. That's exactly what I would say.
Dan, you are the perfect substitute for
he's
Andy.
He's as snotty as me.
Please, no.
I love this guy.
Come on, Dan.
He really hates us.
Dan, where do you live?
1982. I was living with my then-girlfriend, now my current, my wife. We had no money.
This is getting more miraculous all the time, Dan.
It is. Okay, and you were broke.
I had like $5 in my pocket to feed us for 2 days. And I went to an A&P all bummed out and pissed off at life and everything. And I looked down about 20 feet in front of me is a $20 bill on the floor.
On the floor, on the aisle? You mean the
stepping on it, they're walking over it, everything. I was like the only person in the planet that could see that bill.
Because you were looking down. This is in the aisle?
Yeah,
this is in the aisle of the A&P.
You look down.
Yeah.
Nobody else has seen it but me.
Wow.
Looked over, picked it up, and you know what? That was the lowest we've ever been financially. That was the nadir.
And that was the start. And so that was the start of your big comeback, your miraculous comeback.
Well, it's not miraculous, but you know, I'm not in the crapper anymore.
That is a WFMU flask miracle.
Ken is going to send you a flask.
I'll be dipped.
And Ken would really love to have you sit in on New Year's Eve. You don't want Ken to come in alone.
New Year's Eve, 6 to 7 p.m., Dan. 1 hour of your life.
Okay.
See you then.
I love that. I love that guy.
Me
too. He genuinely couldn't care less.
Yeah, that's why I wanted him.
I know.
Oh, well.
I know.
Hey, thank you, Nick the Bard, for call screening. Thank you, Veronica, for helping with the email newsletter. We are going to be back together, I guess.
After the New Year.
January 6th.
Happy New Year to you, Kenny.
Happy New Year to you, too. Enjoy Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And
this is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, online at WFMU.org in Rockland County at 91.9 FM. And stay tuned for Andrea and YOY with her special guest tonight, Jim the Poet.
Oh, that's going to be a good one.
Yeah. He's going to practice dating, I think.
Oh, she's gonna give him some advice?
I think they're actually going to be doing role playing.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to WFMU. This is YOY. I'm going to get this microphone short enough for me. Across the room, I have a special guest, Jim the Poet. Welcome to YOY.
It's amazing to be on YOY. It's a terrific show. Thank you for having me.
Jim hosts Sportsy Talk every Monday night at 6 p.m. here on WFMU with the wonderful Bronwyn.
Terrific. She does most of the hard work. I just kind of laugh at my own jokes and goof off.
I'm sure you do other things. You're really good, as people will find out tonight, at a self-deprecating joke.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have a full hour of that tonight.
I want as many as possible because we are here to help you with so much. But we thought of one thing that you especially are looking for help with, which is your dating technique.
Yes, I do have trouble with the dating and with other, you know, I understand that there are other people in the world and that they're not some sort of shadow, you know, on the wall. So that it's hard for me, you know, when you think like, oh yeah, gee, it'd be great to be in a relationship with somebody. It's such an opaque and abstract notion a lot of times. So maybe making it less abstract, less opaque would be very helpful.
Do you think you're bad at dating? Like, where does this idea come from?
A lot of times I just don't even consider, like, you know, that dating's going to be something I'm going to do. Like, most of the time, you know, Friday night, you know, I'm chilling after work on the couch watching, you know, like the Nets game or something like that. And then you go like, oh, right, what is this feeling inside of me that I'm feeling? Is it loneliness? Do I want to cuddle with someone? So, yeah, sometimes I do feel alone. And then you say, well, is the cure for loneliness to date people? Or is other people...
Sometimes it can make you feel more lonely.
Yeah, deeply lonely, deeply misunderstood.
So, you know, I can't... I'm pretty bad at advice.
I don't think that's true. I think you're very wise. You're very knowing. You've got a lot going on.
No. I had an experience this week where I was talking to... I was being interviewed for a podcast, and the girl doing the interview was, it's a podcast about how you make radio. And she was like, you know, I was supposed to be the wise one giving the advice. And she said, you actually gave me advice years ago, and I wanted to remind you of it.
So what?
I'm going to play it for you guys right now. This is advice I gave to my friend Avery years ago.
It's funny. Like, one of the things I really wanted to, there's so many things I want to talk to you about. But I really wanted to talk to you about an early piece of advice that you gave me when I was living in New York and doing some stuff for Audio Smut.
That's a great podcast.
I was like
called
talking
the Heart Now
to you about, you know, just kind of like tapping you for general wisdom or something. And you were telling me about, you were like warning me about the perils of personal storytelling.
Giving her advice, I was like, personal storytelling, telling your own stuff, don't do it, whatever you do. That's my whole show. That's all I do now.
But I think it's great that you decided that was something you could do for yourself too, but that's not bad advice to give somebody where it's like, hey man, be careful what you put out there for yourself because you never know, you know, who's listening or how
people
will
take it. Telling someone like, you know, you should really do it. Just you know, you should become a writer. Just skip poetry.
That's what I would. That is the exact advice I would give. In fact,
but it's so hypocritical. I think that it's wrong for me to be giving people advice to do the opposite of
she doesn't
me.
Sound that harmed. I mean, she seems like she did okay. Avery, your friend.
Yeah, she's just started doing some personal stuff anyways. Like, she should have. I shouldn't be telling people not to
with advice, the one thing about advice is that you don't necessarily have to take it. It's just sort of starting a conversation that makes you think, like, what decision will I make for myself, given the advice that I've gotten? But I feel like I would, if you told me, like, Jim, what you need to do is start wearing cheese on your head, or, you know, like, I would probably do that because I see you as an authority figure. I see you as someone I look up to on the radio and in the world.
I think I need to make my advice convincing and assertive, and that's what I'll do tonight is I'm just, any piece of advice I give you, you should just take really seriously, and I will not second guess it. So as a method of giving you advice, I think we should take some calls from ladies who want to go on dates with you. Over the radio. Now, people are asking me, Andrea, what's a radio date? And the answer is, I play some music. Not music, sorry. I play like the sound of an ambient location. Like right here, I have the sound of a restaurant. that I will play.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so we're out to dinner.
It sounds like a delicious restaurant.
Yeah, you can hear some, like, clanging in the background. And so you come here often?
I do. You know, the oysters are magnificent.
Oh, you like oysters?
Oh, yeah.
You know what they say about oysters?
No, what do they say?
They're better fresh.
That's probably true. I can't imagine that they're any good not fresh.
Oh, and they're supposed to be like an aphrodisiac, but
who needs that kind of thing?
Oh, so you're...
I'm always aphrodisiac. Never not aphrodisiac.
Our other option... I have some more like ambient locations on the menu. So if someone wants to go on a date to this restaurant with my friend Jim, and then I can give him dating feedback, the number to call is 201-209-9368. Call now, and Nick the Bard will call screen you, send me a little note, let me know you're ready to go, and we'll send you on a date over the radio. It's very safe. It's like the safest...
This is pretty safe.
...date possible.
And if, you know, if we go all the way, then that'll be safe, too.
And you are just a tool for me to give Jim advice. Like I would say, oh, Jim, you're not supposed to bring up, you know, a well-known aphrodisiac on your first date.
Yikes.
I mean, maybe that's flirting. She can't second guess my advice.
It was more of a subtle. I thought that was subtle.
Yeah.
But maybe not.
But you should have said, like, oh, the bread's really good here. I'm overthinking it.
We're at Panera. We're at Albon Payne on our date. Yes, you must try the croissants here. The cronuts are amazing.
When was the last date you went on? Do you remember?
Like an actual date?
Yeah, date.